To praise the Lord and to feel good and to be blessed and refreshed, because that's what I fully expect and that's how I feel already. So looking forward to it this evening. Let me fire this on and ask you to turn to Acts chapter 18 in your Bibles, please. Acts chapter 18. Thank you, Brother Williams, for that little sampling this evening. You get the jitters? It's not from coffee, is it? I don't. Yeah, it's funny how every once in a while somebody, you never know, by the way, and that's what sometimes people, and my wife says that to me. Sometimes I'll come down from here, and on the way home, I want to crawl under a rock and say, I don't know what's going on with me today. And my wife will say, why? What happened? It's like, oh, did you not see that mess? That was terrible. I'm so nervous, and I didn't get anything right, and everything was backwards. And she'll say, oh, I didn't notice. And then there's times I think I hit it out of the park, right? Somebody will say, you off today? Did you sleep well last night? It just reminds me, I have no idea what I'm doing. I have no idea. I just let the Lord lead. So anyway, looking forward to this evening, folks. And as was mentioned, I'll say it one more time. If you know somebody you think might come out, or even if you're not sure, if you don't think they will, try them anyway. And just invite folks out for a real good time of fellowship and honoring the Lord and praising and singing together. So looking forward to that this evening as Phil comes and shares ministry by way of music. Acts chapter 18, please. Trust in just Him. This was mentioned this morning in our Sunday school, and I knew we'd be bringing it up again today, and the idea is very simple and yet very profound. It's hard to trust in just Him, the Lord Jesus Christ, of course I mean. But as Christians walking through our lives, as the Lord continues to teach us and grow us, no matter when you were born again, no matter when you were saved, and I hope that that's true for everyone here today, I'll stop before I pray and just ask you, examine your heart and consider this question, because this is really what it boils down to. Are you sure that if you were to die today, because we know that someday every one of us will, so it might not be today, and I hope it isn't, I hope it's not for 100 years, but when that day comes, that death finally does come for us, are you sure? Do you know beyond the shadow of any doubt that yes, I am safe from judgment? I am safe from hell. I am safe from being separated from God and anything and everything good for all of eternity. I am safe in Jesus Christ. Are you sure that you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? That He is the one that saved you and is indwelling within you. And so the Bible gives us many truths, many wonderful scriptures that we can know for sure that we are saved. But ultimately, we know it boils down to trusting in Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. And I hope that you are this morning, even as we begin. He is our only hope. God sent His Son to die for us on the cross. And the Bible says that He took our sin on Himself. He who knew no sin became sin for us. In other words, all of our sin represented here today. Isn't that nice to talk about and consider, right? All of our sin, if it was just us, He took all of our sins, all of our offenses against Him, our lies and our blasphemies and our gossip and our bitterness and our anger, He took all of those offenses, and Jesus Christ died as if He committed them. He suffered in our place. The Bible says that when we put our faith in Him, we become forgiven of our sins, and we become redeemed, sanctified, saved, children of God, new creatures, born again, headed for heaven. And you can know for sure that that's true. These things are written that ye may know that you have eternal life. 1 John chapter 5 tells us that. And we can know for sure. So today, I hope that you do. Before you even leave this church, don't take the chance of heading into eternity without knowing for sure that your soul is saved, that you're safe. That's why Jesus came. He loves us. He wants us to know Him. This is what these missionaries are up to. The whole reason why we're even talking about this in the book of Acts, because these missionaries wanted to share this message that Jesus is the Son of God, and through Him we can be saved, forgiven, safe from judgment day. We can have eternal life through Jesus Christ. This is the message of the gospel, the message of these missionaries, and this is our message of hope today. And if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a wonderful message. Amen? And we love hearing about it. Even though we might have heard it all our lives, since the moment we got saved, we still love to hear the gospel. And if you're here today and you're not saved, you need to know you can be. You can know for sure that you're going to heaven when you leave this world. Father, we ask for your blessing on your word here this morning. We thank you already for the time that we've had together today. We just revel and marvel in your presence, in awe of who you are. Thank you so much, Father. And we worship you today. And Sunday is an opportunity, Lord, that the church can gather together. And corporately, we can just worship you and honor you and love you as we love one another. And so we thank you, God, for your Son, for salvation through him, for your forgiveness. And Lord, for each one that's here today, we look forward to this evening, Father. And we even now pray for these events. We pray, God, that tonight as we meet together, that you would bless your servant as he shares his gifts, Lord, that you've provided him with us. God, that you would minister to each of us, and also that you would minister to him, your servant. Be a blessing. Lord, we want to be a blessing to him as he is to us. But we pray, Father, that you would encourage our hearts, that you would challenge us, convict us, Lord, and draw us closer to you, that we would fall in love more with you this evening, Lord Jesus, as we consider through ministry of word and song who you are to us. So bless our day today and all that we do. And then, Lord, your word even now in these few minutes. Father, help us to understand them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. We've already read this passage a couple of times now. I won't reiterate the first four verses, but I will remind us we're talking about two things in chapter 18. We began, and we were talking about the courage it took for Paul and these other missionaries to continue to press on in the work that God had called them to do and literally had sent them out to do, being missionaries, being light, sharing the message of Jesus Christ with the world. And so they've gone out now. They're on their second missionary journey. And town after town after town, they're asked to get out. They're asked to leave. They are, in some cases, run out of town. In some cases, Paul almost lost his life. They have been in prison. They have been in every different way we can imagine, bullied and picked on and run out of these different towns for the most part. And yet they continue to press on. They have courage. And they have encouragement. We talked last week about courage, but also about being encouraged by our friends. And we talked a little bit about what it means to have a good, godly friend. And the importance of having friends that will encourage us. That's one of the ways that we have courage, because other people tell us to be strong and courageous. They encourage us to be bold, to be brave. And I appreciate those that do that for me. Don't ever think for a minute that I've got it all figured out, that I have all the faith I need and all the courage that I need. I don't. Even Brother Phil, to my surprise, mentioned he doesn't have it either. Every once in a while, we get the jitters. And as all Christians, we all do. Jitters about different things and for different reasons. But we have one another to encourage and to give courage so that we can work through the challenges of our lives. So I love that. And we see this in the passage in regards to Paul and those others that were with him, including Aquila and Priscilla, and others as well, then encourage one another. As we read, taking from verse 4, Paul, of course, does what he always does. He heads to the synagogue. He heads to the place where the seekers are, and he begins to minister. It says in verse 4, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. You know, one of the reasons why the Bible says that we need to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman rightly dividing the word of truth, we don't want to be ashamed. The reason why we read the Bible every day, we're faithful to open up the Bible and to read it, not only for personal encouragement and understanding, and because this is how God speaks to us, but it's also so that we know what it says and we can share it with others. And so this is what Paul is doing, these missionaries are doing. He's sharing the truth of who Jesus Christ is, the truth of God's word, connecting the dots, reasoning with people, discussing, debating, helping them to understand their need for Jesus Christ. And this was the work that God had called him to do. So we see just another example of him discussing, debating, reasoning with those about their need for Jesus Christ. That's why it's important that I know what I'm talking about. That as Christians, we know what the Bible teaches. One of the things that we sometimes get wrong, though, is we think that I've got to know everything before I share anything. Right? And it's usually fear that kind of, I don't want to be embarrassed. Right? I don't, of course, right? I don't want to look bad. I don't want to get it wrong, especially. One of my fears, I would admit to you, is God, don't ever let me teach something heretical. Heretical? Any heresy. It scares me to think that I might teach something and God's up there shaking his head You're his fold. And I'm a sheep, but I'm also, I've been given this privilege of sharing the truth. So I have to know what it says, because I'm not speaking my truth, I'm speaking his truth. And in order to know it, I need to read it, study it, pray over it, and become aware of what God says so that I can share it with others. This is what Paul does, and this is what he's doing. And so now he's sharing it with others. And sometimes that takes some discussion. You know, I've had discussions with people about sinfulness, and they've said, well, I'm a good person. And most of us would all say that. You've heard this example before, but I'll just share it again quickly. Most of us would say, yeah, I'm a good person. And if you were to ask the average person on the street, do you think you're a good person? They would say, what? Yeah, I'm a pretty good person. I'm not perfect, but I'm a good person. And you would maybe find out in conversation that they believe that it's that goodness that will get them into heaven. Because you would ask them, well, do you believe you're going to go to heaven someday? And they would say, yes. And you would say, well, why? And they would say, well, because I'm a pretty good person. I'm not perfect, but I'm pretty good. And it's that goodness that people are depending on. But when you reason in the scriptures, when you come to the Word of God to say, God, I'm a pretty good person, aren't I? What do you have to say about that? God's like, well, you want to know? Well, I'll tell you. No, you're not. That's what it says in here. Do you know that the Bible says, Jesus said, there are none that are good. No, not one. Isaiah said that even our righteousness, our good works are just filthy rags. Sounds a little offensive. And we might say, well, that's not very nice, but it's still true. And the point is that Scripture has a way of telling us things that are true, and it takes a little while for us to see it. And so we have these conversations, and we say, well, the Bible says that God is the measure of goodness. Let's compare ourselves with God. Have you ever lied? Well, yes. Have you ever stole anything? Well, yes. Small things? Well, that's still stealing. Have you ever blasphemed God's name, taken it in vain, used the name of Jesus or God as a curse word? Yes. Have you ever disobeyed your parents? Yes. Have you ever coveted for something, wanted something your neighbor had? Yes. Have you ever committed adultery? Even if it was just in your mind, lusted after another human being? Well, yes. Have you ever hated somebody, wanted them to die? You didn't tell anybody, but in your heart, yes. So those are 8 of the 10 commandments, and I think every one of us would admit today, we've broken all of them. True? So what do we learn? We learn that maybe I'm not as good as I think I am. And that's the point of having a conversation. You know, one of the things that Satan does, and I did share this last week, but I'll share it again, is he separates people from the truth by separating them from the truth tellers. Make the truth tellers the bad guy. Make the truth teller obsolete. Separate us from the truth teller because we don't want to hear the truth. That way we can hold on to the things that we're trusting and not to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a tactic the enemy uses. Paul here is discussing. He's trying to help them to understand, no, Jesus is the Messiah. He is. He is the one that the prophets talked about. He is the one that God sent to save us. He's reasoning with people. And sometimes, Christians, we need you to do the same. Remember, the book of Acts is about the early church. It's about Christians. It's about how we conduct ourselves, what we do, what are our responsibilities. And this is one part of it, to sit down with a friend, a loved one, not to fight, okay? We share the truth in what? Love. We use salt and grace. And if we're careful, it's amazing what God will do. I've been in situations where I was scared to death, and I thought, they're going to throw me out of here. I'm done for. And God just gives me that spirit of patience and grace and love. And we try to be sincere and not act accusing people or judging people, but just saying, well, you know, God says this. And I know that really cut me to the heart when I heard it too. But, you know, this is the truth. So that's what a friend does. He shares the truth. Paul is sharing the truth. He's reasoning. And sometimes the Lord will bring us to a place where we need to have a conversation. We need to say, can I just share something with you? Can I talk to you about this? What are your thoughts on these things? And we have discussions, but we need to make sure that we know the truth. And as I was saying, that doesn't mean that we know everything. But we are willing to share what God has taught us. And if you're here today and you've trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you know enough to share the gospel with somebody else so that they too can know your Lord and Savior as their Lord and Savior. Verse 5, it says, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. Paul, of course, had a heart for the Jewish people, and he was commanded, go to the Jews first, then to the Gentiles. Here he is. He's pressed in his spirit. What does that mean? He is moved by the Spirit of God within himself to say something on their behalf, to throw out a lifeline, to try to help them, to try to share truth with them. He is pressed in the Spirit and testified to the Jews, what? That he was an important man, they should listen to him? No. That anything he thinks must be true and they should do what he says? No. It wasn't about him or about his own ideas. It was about the truth. Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Christ. It says at the end of verse 5, he testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. He was convicted to share that truth. He was motivated. He was, the word pressed, he was pushed. You know, do this. Go this direction. Say this thing. And he couldn't keep it in. He knew he had to share this truth. So he didn't allow his fear, which he had, by the way, to keep him from sharing the truth. He was pressed in the Spirit, and he responded to that pressing of the Spirit of God. Turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, please, chapter 1. No, let me try that again. Isn't that funny? 2 Corinthians chapter 1? No, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. See how my brain works? Takes a little while sometimes. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. He was pressed in his spirit. Sometimes we need a little convincing, a little motivating, especially when we're scared to do something. There's people that I even now think about, and it scares me to sit down and share the gospel with them because I know how they're going to respond to it. I know what they're going to think. They're going to just, you know, grin and laugh or mock or tell me what they really think. And for whatever reason, that kind of scares me. I don't want to experience that. But I'm pressed in my spirit to do it anyway and to do it lovingly. Why? Well, do you love them? Yes. Do you want them to be in heaven with you forever? Of course. Well, you got to tell them the truth then. But what if they don't like it? You can't control that. What if they get angry at me when I share with them the truth? You can't do anything about that. If you love them, you pray for them, and you share the truth as lovingly and as clearly as you can and consistently, and you demonstrate that love by how you live and by what you do and your behaviors, and you just pray for them and leave it up to me. And the Lord will convict, and the Lord will challenge, and his word will not return void. The point is, we need to be obedient to that pressing in spirit. It's not always easy, but God is faithful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, is that what I said? I want to just demonstrate something. Of course, Paul is now in Corinth, very immoral place, a lot of pagan worship, a lot of immorality associated with their worship there. And so he's in Corinth, and he experiences these things. And I want to go to 1 Corinthians for a reason, because this is one of the things that he experienced. He admits this while he was in Corinth. He was there for a year and a half, by the way. And so this is what he experienced. This is how he felt. Verse 1, chapter 2. And I, brethren, when I came to you, speaking to the very same people we're reading about in Acts chapter 18, those people, those individuals, he's saying, when I went there, remember, when I was there, when I came unto you, I came not with excellency of speech or of sound wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of my God. You know what he said? He said, I didn't talk good and I didn't know much. And you know what? He still went. He said, I wasn't very good with the way that I spoke. I wasn't very eloquent in my speaking, and I didn't really have a whole lot of wisdom to share, but I still went. I was pressed in my spirit to share these truths with you. When I showed up in your city, the Spirit of God said, you open your mouth and you speak truth. They need to hear about me. They need to be saved. I love them. I want them to know that Jesus Christ is my son, and he's their only hope for salvation. It's hell otherwise. And that's the truth. Paul says, I didn't have all these skills that you think I have. I came to you, I didn't have great speech. I wasn't very wise. I just was declaring what God wanted me to declare, the testimony of God. I just reiterated. I repeated the truth that God shared with me. Verse 2, it says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. That was my main message, don't you remember? When I showed up, I just talked about Jesus and that Jesus is God's son, that he died on the cross for your sins, that he defeated death and rose again. Nobody else did that. And that if you trust in him, if you call out to him, if you say, Lord, I'm a sinner, if you came to save sinners, I'm a sinner, will you save me, forgive me, save me? The Bible says he will. And you will become born again. You will become a new creature. Same person, new spirit. a new heart, gradually learning to follow Jesus, to know Jesus, to live for Jesus, to have the power that he offers, the peace that he provides. And so Paul said, look, when I came to you, this was the message that I declared more than anything. Jesus is the Messiah. He is Christ. He is the Son of God. He is the Savior of the world. He is your only hope. And so we reiterate that same message to the world around us, whether they listen or not, or like it or not. We say to them, because we love them, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth, Paul said. And it's this, without Jesus Christ, friends, you are lost forever. Eternity is real. Every one of us will live forever. It's the location that needs to be decided. And if you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you will live forever in heaven with him. And if you don't, then you will live forever separated from him. And the Bible describes that separation as a place called hell, where there is torment, weeping, and wailing. And so this is the reason why the message is urgent and why we need to be bold with it. But here's what else Paul says. It's interesting. Verse 3, I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. I was so afraid when I showed up and looked around. I'm just a country bumpkin. And I've come to the great city of Corinth. By this point, it's not quite as great anymore, but it's all still a scary, big city. It's like, have you ever gone to I remember as a kid, I used to think, or I was a young teenager, I'm going to go to the big city, and that's where all the action is. And I went to a few big cities, Halifax, walked a few of those streets. I don't like the cities. They're kind of scary. There's a lot of things here that I don't like. A lot of things that press against us, that work against us. Paul says, look, I was afraid to come to you. I was afraid to share this message with you. I came to you with much trembling, he said. My knees were knocking. I was nervous. I was afraid. And, fear has a way of shutting us down. Sometimes fear, ever experience being so afraid you couldn't move? Sometimes as a kid, maybe you wake up, you have a bad dream, and you're just frozen with fear, terrified. Just can't move. You hear a noise. You turn around, it's the cat, That's what happens. Fear. The cat wasn't trying to kill you, but your fear took advantage of that opportunity to freeze you up. Fear. He says, I was afraid. I was trembling, he said. He said in verse 4, my speech, my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Paul said, I shared the truth that I shared with you about Jesus Christ, not based on my strength or my wisdom, but the power of the Lord God, the power of the Spirit. He helped me. God helped me. And he will help you. And he will help me share the truth of the gospel with those around us. Sit down and have that conversation and not say to yourself, well, I don't know everything yet. Well, if you're waiting until that day comes, you're never going to share the gospel. Share what you know and study so that you do know what you know. Read the Word of God, but be willing to share it. And guess what? When I make mistakes, when I get it wrong, you know what I do? I go home and I'm like, oh, I'm going to get it right next time. Oh, yeah, here's what it says. And I learn and I study and this is what we do as believers. But the point is, don't allow a lack of wisdom or weakness or that you can't talk well to keep you from sharing the light of the gospel. And we can do it through what we say and what we do, by the way. And it's what we do that gives what we say value, and God will bless that. So Paul is telling us here, when I was in Corinth, I was afraid to death. And as we go back to Acts, this is what's interesting, chapter 18, here's what he encountered when he was in Corinth. Verse 6, he was pressed in his spirit, he shared the gospel. Just quickly, it says in verse 6, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean from henceforth, I will go unto the Gentiles. That's pretty frank. But they were so angry, they hated his message so much. Paul was saying, no, you're wrong. Jesus was the Messiah. Yes, you killed him. He came back to life again. He is the one the prophets talked about. He is the Son of God. And they didn't like it, and they blasphemed Jesus Christ. No, he's not. He was nobody. He was nothing. He's dead. And Paul got to the point where he said, all right, you're rejecting this. I'm shaking the dust off, and I'm heading out. And I'll take this message to the Gentiles. If this is what you want. And there's a quote that C.S. Lewis uses. He wrote it. All get what they want, but they don't always like it. Do you know, God will give us what we want. When we say, I don't want you in my life, I don't want your rules, I don't want any part of you, I don't want your heaven, and I don't want your Christians and your angels and your saints, God's like, okay. I don't want to have anything to do with you, people will say to God. God is light. God is air. God is life. God is love. God is anything and everything that worst heathen has ever experienced good. He's the rain that falls. He's the sun that shines. And to say, I don't want nothing to do with you, be careful what you ask for. Anything good you experience is because of God. He is the giver of good gifts. And to say, I don't want anything you have for me, is probably, I would say it is the worst thing you can do. To reject that hope, to reject that love. They blasphemed. They said, we don't want this. They opposed him. And so he shook off his raiment. The idea is that their destruction will be so bad. I don't know. I don't even want a dust of this town left on me. And he says, I'm going to go to the Gentiles, verse 7. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justice. One that worshiped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue or was close to the church synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. So Paul says, you know what? Fine, I'm going to put my pearls in my pocket and I'm out of here. Ezekiel chapter 3 reminds us, make sure you warn them. You don't want the blood on your hands. Paul said, okay, I warned you. You don't want it? Fine, I'm leaving. That's probably was a discouraging moment for Paul, by the way. He said at one point, he said, my prayer for Israel is that she would be saved. He wants his people to know Christ, and that's what we want. And so it's discouraging when you see those that you love reject the only hope that they have. And so he would have been discouraged, without question. And yet, what do we see the very next two verses, verse 6 and 7? Encouragement. God knows what we need. Paul shows up, he goes to the Gentiles, he shows up at the synagogue, meets a guy named Crispus and a guy named Justice. Many of the Corinthians are being saved, they're believing, and they're being baptized, which is exciting. And we have privilege to be excited. We got a baptism coming up in just a couple of weeks, and we praise God for that because God is working. People are being saved, and they're being added to the church, and they're publicly declaring their love for Jesus. And we pray for the Valentines as they walk with the Lord in this season of their life. And we're so excited. Amen? Amen. We praise God. And all of us are just rejoicing for what God is doing. And so Paul was no doubt somewhat discouraged because his people were saying, get out of here. We don't want the message, blaspheming the one who died for them. And Paul said, fine, I'll go to the Gentiles, but I am not going to stop sharing the message. And he didn't. And then he was encouraged. People being saved, people being baptized. Oh, you know, God knows what we need when we need it. Verse 9, such an interesting verse. Here's how I know Paul was discouraged, by the way, and afraid. Not only did he say it himself, as we read in 2 Corinthians, but it says here, verse 9, then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid. God shows up. This is actually one of three times God shows up and speaks to Paul. There's two other times, one in chapter 23 and one in chapter 27. I'm not sure what verse. But Paul gets discouraged from time to time. And he gets afraid from time to time. He knows the heat is on. Like they're really mad. How many lives does a cat have? Right? How many more times am I going to be able to get away with this, Lord? Like, are you sure this is a good idea? This is distinct. Because so far God hasn't showed up on the scene. We've not read words in red yet. Where Jesus Christ is like, okay, Paul, I know you're really afraid. So this is the first time we read this. This tells us this was a genuine fear Paul was dealing with. So much so that God himself intercedes in a vision at night and says to him, be not afraid. Wow, I love that. I love that when I'm afraid and I open up the Word of God and God says to me, be not afraid. You can trust me. Trust in just him, Tim. It's okay. I know you're afraid. That's why I'm here. I'm telling you, don't be afraid. You don't have to be. Reckless faith. You can do it. Trust me. And so God shows up exactly when we need him, and he does for Paul, and he says these words to him, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. Three things, we're out of time, so I have to be quick. When it comes to courage, we see it over and over again. He had courage, he was encouraged. No doubt he was discouraged. God shows up, he's a little afraid. We see him being encouraged again by believers, by the work of God, and then literally by the Lord God himself. And he's told three things. Number one, don't be afraid. Christian, God would say to us, don't be afraid. I can't share my faith. What if they reject it? What if my coworkers don't like it? If I live this way, people are going to notice. Should I really be this open about my love for the Lord Jesus Christ? God would say in every instance that we ask those kinds of questions, don't be afraid. I've not given you the spirit of fear. You don't have to be afraid. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. You don't have to be afraid. Don't be afraid. But what about this? And what if this happens? And what if they hate me? And what if... Don't be afraid. Secondly, he says, speak. Don't be silent. Well, it's speaking that's getting me in trouble, Lord. Maybe if I stop doing that, I don't have to be afraid. He says, don't be afraid. And you keep speaking. You keep talking. Keep telling people the truth. Why, Lord? Because it's their only hope. And I love them. And I need you to be faithful. Because I want them to be saved. So you keep speaking. You keep sharing the truth. He says, don't be afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. Makes them mad. I know. They don't like to hear it. I know. You speak it anyway. Thirdly, he says these words, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. God says, don't be afraid. You keep speaking. Don't hold your peace. You keep talking. I'm going to be with you. Now, what more do we need as Christians to give us the courage that we need to be faithful? Don't be afraid. God said that. God knows everything. If God is telling me I don't have anything to be afraid of, then I'm going to trust him. I should trust him. Trust in just him. Don't be afraid. Then he says, don't be silent. You have to share it. But Lord, it's what's making everybody mad. I know. It's their only hope. They need to hear it. And by the way, he says, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm taking that abuse as well. I hear those words. It's not you they hate. It's me. I'm with you. And by the way, you're not alone. I have much people in this city who love me. You're not alone. And Christian, we may be rejected by some, but we are not alone, and we have one another. And so God would want us to know these truths, just like he taught Paul. Paul said, I was so afraid. I was shaking in my boots. And God just kept leading me, and I kept trusting him. He kept filling my mouth, pressed in my spirit, and he'll do the same thing for us. And it's good to have that reckless faith. We can just trust him and see what he does. Father, thank you for these truths today, for Paul, and for the examples that he and others provided us. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that these are not truths. These are not helps that are just for Paul, but they're for us. These are helps, provisions that weren't just for the early church. They are for the church, and we are still the church, and so they are for us. You are the same God, and you say to us, don't be afraid, Tim. Don't be afraid, Bethel Baptist Church. Don't be afraid, my fold. You would say to us, speak. Don't be silent. Don't hold your peace. You have to share Jesus Christ. You have to share what the Bible teaches. They need to hear it. You would say also to us, I'm with you. I am with you, oh God. Thank you for this truth. It's a wonder to us, Lord, and we are so grateful, and we see you. We know that you are with us, and so we thank you so much. And so help us to be faithful. Lord, like these missionaries, that we too would go out and share these truths despite the reactions or the response. Thank you that we don't have to be afraid. Bless us, Lord, as we close today, and we pray for your blessing on the remainder of our day and our event tonight, and on your servants. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Just as we close, we'll sing one more time, church, if you would, hymn number